give a little update for our community here. I'm not aware of anyone that is sick with the coronavirus in any way right now in our church, except I know that my sister-in-law just got tested for that. She's fairly sick right now. And I'm not aware of anyone else that's sick, whether it's coronavirus or anything else, but you all that's in our community, almost everyone has my phone number, my wife's phone number, or one of our leaders' phone number. So text us, email us, whatever you need to do, and let us know. We want to know because we'll be praying. Matter of fact, I'm just going to pray for anyone that might be sick right now in our church, in our area. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just hold up Janet right now, and I pray, God, you would deliver her from evil and heal her body in Jesus' name. I pray you just cause whatever this sickness is to leave her body at this instant in Jesus' name. And I just pray for anyone else, Lord, that's in that kind of place today, sick of something, Lord, something that's wrong with their body, some sort of ailment or whatever. We just cover them in prayer right now in Jesus' name. We pray for our area and our region, Lord, and the whole world, really, but especially our region or area. We just pray in the name of Jesus. We just ask you, God, that you would bind the spirit, Lord, that this infirm spirit that's attacking the world and whatever the causes or the roots, I don't care. I just pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, your authority come into the situation, and we just pray along with you as helpers, Lord, as assistants in prayer, as you taught us to do. And we just ask, God, that you would drive these things out of our area. We pray, God, you would bring our area to perfect health in Jesus' name, that no would die, no further infections. We just pray you'd stop this at the root in Jesus' name, not only here but around the world. And Lord, I just join my prayers to the prayers around the world of all the saints who are crying out to you right now. And Lord, I know we're a mighty chorus, and you hear us, Lord, and you're hearing everything we have to say. So we are confident as we come to you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, great. John mentioned a few things about the communications that we've been doing and been using Zoom all over the place. And it's been pretty cool as I've been watching this unfold. Some of us who are more technically challenged are becoming more technical, and we're having all kinds of things around here we're doing. Actually, this has been a good time for us to recalibrate, and I hope it has for your life as well, maybe get a little rest. I know that one of the big concerns for all of us is not only the sickness, but the economic repercussions. Just don't worry. We've been through recessions and things like this before, and I'll tell you what, maybe I'll mention a little bit about this in the sermon, but we've discovered during the recession, God does some of his best stuff in these times, and he's going to do the same for you. But make sure that you stay connected to us and also to Janice and I and all our leaders so we can pray for you. And we want to keep the spirit of prayer alive. We've been doing that online through the Zoom and through other means as well, and texting and so on. So I just want to make sure we stay connected. That's our prayer life to each other, and it's a lifeline to each other, and it's also a lifeline to God. So you'll find that as you go to our main page, that you, when you're clicking in to get on this live stream, also you'll see that we have a place for the sermons that actually are the outlines. It says sermons on it, and it's got the outlines for what I'm going to share with you. So tonight we're going to be sharing Finding the Good Plans God Has for You, and there's an archive of all the sermons and all of our services basically that we were doing with YouTube. We've kind of upped the game a little bit and are doing a little bit better now as we've moved solely online. But anyway, this sermon's called Finding the Good Plans God Has for You. And I want to read out of Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read verses 4 to 14. But the key verse to take out of this, which is at the top of your outline, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." Now, he wouldn't have said plans to harm you if there wasn't some threat, and there was a threat. Actually, what had happened is the entire nation had been deported. They'd been actually taken to another land. They'd completely been uprooted. So obviously, they were feeling a little sensitive about that, and it's important to see what the Lord says about such a cosmic event in their lives, such a tragic and also a dramatic event. You think our events are dramatic. How about your whole nation being uprooted? So this is what God says, verse 4. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Interesting. Verse 5. "Carry on. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. So this is a really good opening line advice for us. Carry on. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile." Another important point. pray the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and will listen, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the places, nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I just think that's an amazing a group of scriptures, and they have all kinds of relevance for us today. I want you to notice the blessing that was for them even when they were surrounded by their enemies. They were in this difficult place, but God was bringing blessing. And if you know historically what happened afterward, they were really blessed. They kept more and more blessed. They grew and got the numbers grew and so on. And some eventually were let to go to Israel, and they started the nation again. But actually, a huge colony of Jews stayed in Babylon. And when the Jews were kicked out again, when they actually left and actually formally, finally and completely in AD 135, it's interesting that Babylon actually, because of this activity that they obeyed the Lord and actually became a source of sustenance, became a source of spiritual activity, and it had been developing through the centuries, but it really became a hub for all Judaism throughout the whole world. So they prepared a place not only for their time and for what would happen as they launched a whole group into Israel and started Israel again, but actually they prepared for the future, for future generations, just by what they did and how they obeyed the Lord in this particular time. An interesting verse, which I think is really relevant for our time, is verse 7. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The nation that conquered them, that sent them into exile, he tells them, pray for it. Wow. If you can pray for a nation like that, you should be praying for your own city. This is how God takes this. He takes it so literally, this whole praying for our area and our region, because when our region, our area does well, we do well. Now, we can see that with this whole coronavirus thing, this epidemic that's affecting all these cities and areas, and some cities are worse than others, but it definitely is affecting everybody, the body of Christ and those outside the body of Christ. So one of our main prerogatives is pray for our cities. Pray for our areas. And I'm hoping that you'll do that more and more. Make it a part of your life to pray for your city. It's absolutely critical right now for you to do that. Now, God wouldn't waste his breath. He never wastes his breath. He would not say, oh, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too prosper. And, you know, just sort of as a nice suggestion, an overture of goodwill. No, he's saying pray for it because it works. When that city prospers, you'll prosper. When that city's not doing well, you're not going to do well. Pray for those that are over you so that it will go well with you in the land. And this is so important for us right now. I can't think of many more important things than praying for your cities, praying for the welfare, and do it on a regular basis together and alone, and cry out to God, because we have something to say to God. He's listening to us as God's select people, as his chosen people in the earth. If he's listening to anybody, he's listening to us. Furthermore, God told us in Matthew chapter 5, through the ministry of Jesus, he made it absolutely clear that we are the salt and the light of the earth. And so I just want to read these precious verses in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. Who's the salt of the earth? Well, now it's the body of Christ, those followers of Jesus. We're the salt of the earth. We make the earth taste good. What we do makes a difference. We preserve the world with our influence. We make it so that nothing spoils. We have a powerful ability to change the environment. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Sometimes we lose our saltiness because we just don't know how important we are to world affairs. We just think we're in a small cog and some sort of large thing, but don't know what role we play. But God says we're salt, every one of us, individually and corporately. And he says this, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is so important. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. God always has good plans for his people, even in times of trouble. But those good plans then spill out unto the rest of the world. So if you look at Roman numeral 2 on your outline, if you have one, at an earlier time in Israel's history, God's plan for Israel was to stay. Now, this first with Jeremiah, they'd been deported, which is a later time. But earlier, they were being attacked by Assyria, or the attack of Assyria was threatening them. And so they were thinking, well, maybe we're supposed to leave. And so God actually didn't like that idea very much. Matter of fact, he knew it was a bad idea. And so we pick up with Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And I want you to hear these scriptures, because I've been going through these scriptures over and over again. I can't quite get these passages out of my mind, because I think in these passages are very relevant scriptures for all of us individually and also corporately. So Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. You know, I like it when God says that. You know, he clears his throat and says, this is what I'm saying now. And I just want to say that he's saying that to us too. Whatever I'm saying here, I believe is also very, very important for the body of Christ, the church, and for the whole world right now. Look what he says. First thing he says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. They had a spirit of fear on them. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. You know, I've been hearing all this on the news and people doing the craziest things in response to this out of just fear. And it's sort of like when you're in the pool and you're flailing around, you know, you just go deeper, you know, you just go faster. It's so important that we have this spirit of rest and repentance on us. And I'll explain that in a minute. He says, you said, we'll ride off on swift horses, meaning they're going to go to Egypt. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet, and here's God's real heart. It's his heart to us right now. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. I love these verses so much, don't you? He longs to be gracious. He's not. We don't have to twist his arm to do it. He wants to be gracious. He longs. His deepest longing is to be gracious to us. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. And that goes for this time. The Lord longs to be gracious to us. So we need to cooperate with him and cry down and call that down on us. It's part of our privilege as people that are involved in prayer. It's our connection with the Lord. It's how we rule and reign together on the earth. We cry out to God, and then he brings just judgments. For the Lord is a God of justice. There it is. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. I just think that's very interesting. How gracious he will be when you do what? When you cry for help. So don't get depressed. Don't just get discouraged or overwhelmed. Just cry for help. I think plenty of us are in the mood to do that. And by the way, don't think of it as just throwing things up there in desperation. It's not. When you cry to Almighty God and you're a child of God, he hears. It's just as surely as you'll hear your children when they cry out to you. As soon as he hears, look at that. As soon as he hears, he's not going to put you on, you know, on hold for a while. He's not waiting around. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So let's just go over these passages for a moment. First of all, he says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. This is so important. Repentance, in the Old Testament sense, meant to change your actions. In the New Testament sense, it always had to do with changing your heart. And you put those two together, and repentance means to change your heart and change your actions. And so repentance in this circumstance that we're in means changing your mind in response to fear and helplessness. You are not helpless. You are not helpless. You are far from it. You are dangerous. And the enemy of your soul knows it. And he tries to make you feel helpless and totally inept and out of it. But you are right at the center of world affairs right now, every believer that's listening to my voice. I just want to let you know, you're at the center of the solution to this problem. There's all kinds of things that our government's doing, and I sure appreciate it. But actually, this solution is a spiritual solution. This, whatever this thing and however it's come upon us, sure, I can see the outward plague of it and the outward physical manifestations. But actually, the solution to this is that we would change our mind to responding in fear and helplessness, and we would address the Lord as a people together and to him directly. And then he says, rest. So rest, I just want to explain this a little bit because it's really important. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Rest, I just want to explain. It's not like we just pause and we just sit down for a moment. Really, in the rest of the Lord, when we talk about the rest of the Lord, it's a glorious experience of the love and the assurance the Spirit brings. It's really important to define it that way. It's a glorious experience. It's a big experience. Matter of fact, I believe it's caught up in what Ephesians 3, Paul talks about praying for. He talks about praying to the Ephesians for the love of God. And for Paul, this was a real commodity. So what I want to say to you is rest and love are intimately connected. When you experience love, you experience rest. When you experience God speaking to you and hugging you, a divine hug, I could put it that way, you experience rest. You could rest physically, but have you ever tried to rest physically and couldn't rest at all? Your spirit was up, going up and down. You couldn't sleep. But listen to this. Prayer that Paul is praying. I pray this all the time over our church. I pray it over myself. For this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray. Now remember, when the Bible says they're praying, when Paul says he's praying or God says to pray, he's not doing this just as sort of a pat you on the back. That's a nice thing to do. This is a spiritual exercise. He's saying, he prays for results. And here's the result he's asking for. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Wow. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. So he's asking for a rooting and an establishment in love. You can ask that too. You say, God, please, I'm feeling a little lost right now. I feel a little desperate. Please calm my heart. Give me rest. Come on the inside and tell me you love me. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Can you imagine? This is a prayer Paul's praying. He's not praying it just as a nice little platitude or kind of a little saying or something. He's saying, look, this is what's available to you. I'm praying this for you. I want you to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, just like I know it. And I want to know this love that passes all knowledge, all the factual information you have, and goes right into your spirit that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. Talk about rest. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. There's a power that God wants to put within you to have this experience of rest, of love. And it's immeasurably all that we can ask or imagine. And I just want to just tell you about an experience I had a few days ago. I'm so grateful to the Lord that I've had these experiences, and I crave these love encounters, these understandings, these impartations of love. And I was feeling a little low, and I come into the church, you know, every day, and I'm praying for everyone and praying and stuff and do a lot of worship and stuff. And have you ever had those times where you just don't seem to be able to connect? You know, I was a little tired, you know, kind of feeling weak in my back a little bit, and, you know, I wasn't feeling particularly spiritual. And so I always do this, and I just want to tell you, this is just the way I do it. I'm sure others can access the love of God in other ways, but I just listen to a whole bunch of songs, and it's just so much fun. And I'm just sitting there listening to them, and song one goes by, song two goes by, song three goes by, not much is happening. And then song four came. And it's that song, Raise a Hallelujah song. And when that played, I embarrassed myself. I'm the only one in here, but I was embarrassing myself because I started jumping around, dancing around, and I kept looking around at the windows, hoping nobody was looking in the windows, you know, and all that. And but I tell you, that thing broke. That thing broke off of me so quickly, and I felt the rest of the Lord. I love those experiences. When you rest, you can think. That's why he says, in repentance and rest, in repentance and rest. And so it's such a critical thing. And so as believers, it's important to know, and I'm just going to tell you, we can all go to a place of peace. And Apostle Paul knew this really well, and I just believe it's so important. Just as long as I can just convince you that there is a place in God, Paul said, I'm praying for you for this. And I'm praying for all of us that way. And you should be praying for yourself. Lord, bring me the spirit of love. Bring me this quietness on the inside. Have mercy on me. You know, I'm just telling you. And I know that as I'm speaking, I'm imparting this to you. Because I think some of you are going to believe me just because I said so. And you're going to experience it because you have faith just by what I'm saying. But I believe it helps us understand some other passages in the scripture, like Philippians 4:4-9. So Paul says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So he mentions this God of peace, this peaceful experience. See, he says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. There it is again. He'd have these encounters as well. You can too. And I tell you what, sometimes to get into these encounters, sometimes it just takes a little bit of changing the channel. I think we can even pass peace to one another sometimes by changing the channel. And so instead of thinking and concentrating our prayer life about all the things that are wrong, then start rejoicing over all the things that are right. That's a good way to approach the Lord. So when you keep doing that, and that's what you do in worship. You're putting your focus on the Lord, away from your problem, away from the intercession. Because sometimes, frankly, if I just go straight to intercession, or even when I go straight to counseling someone about, you know, what's going on in their life, if we just start in on the trouble, man, it just starts slow. It goes downhill from there. I try to explain to them, listen, it's so important to know that you are not alone, that God's everywhere around this situation. It may be a horrible situation around you, but look, lift your head up and tell God thank you for all the great things that he's already doing. And God will help you. First, it might be slow, but just let him do it. Now, in Paul, when he's speaking, rejoice, Lord, always, I'll say it again, rejoice. He learned this. I mean, this guy had been through everything you can imagine, beaten numerous times, left for dead in the deep of the ocean a couple of times, and all kinds of crazy things. And he knew what to do with rejoicing. Matter of fact, one time, if you remember, he was in a jail cell, and he and Silas, they were chained to the ground, and they were rejoicing, and they were singing. As they were singing, their bonds broke and the jail door flew open, and the Philippian jailer wanted to commit suicide, but Paul wouldn't let him do it, and he witnessed to the guy's household, and everything turned around at that moment in the spirit. It broke. And funny thing is, the next day they're trying to get them to leave. They're begging them to leave. And Paul's saying, hey, you treated me wrongly. I'm a Roman citizen. And then they got even more afraid. The whole thing turned. But the thing is, it wasn't the circumstances that changed. It was the spirit above the circumstances that changed. This rejoicing, this understanding of taking and going to a place of thankfulness with God and reminding yourself of all the things that he's done is very, very powerful in the spirit. But it also helps you to connect and come to a place of rest and a connection with the Lord. So in the end, with regard to our lives, we're left with this decision to declare God's promises and believe them or not. And I believe when you're in a place of rest, you can start declaring God's promises with absolute faith. It's so important to understand that we have a decision to make, and we have to make it absolutely as an act of our will sometimes, and sometimes the emotions catch up. But we need to understand that God's word has all kinds of provision for us, and his prayer has provision for us. And when we connect the two together, we get dynamite. And so, wow, I cannot think of a better psalm than Psalm 91 right now for all of us as we're praying and for the whole nation. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that would be me, that would be you that know Jesus Christ. And if you listen to this and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can know him. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe. I want to trust you and get somebody there to pray with you and help you through the initial stages. But everybody can come under the shelter of the Most High God just by saying, Lord, I want to believe. I want to come into this shelter. I want to do this. I mean, how could it be that simple? Well, God made it that simple. Because all that happens in the kingdom is a matter of the heart. And everything works from the inside out. When you come to that place where you say, God, I just want to make you my shelter. I just want to come in. I just want to know you. I want to walk with you now. I want to be able to declare these promises. You absolutely can in a moment. Whoever dwells, he says, listen, this is our promise, in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So it's not hard to rest in the shadow. It's not hard. Just come in with a spirit of rejoicing and worship and thankfulness, and there you're in. And you can say everything that's on your heart and mind. You don't have to be anxious about anything. Cover all everything. And then don't be worrying about it. Just let it go into God's hands. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. This is a very good time to do that. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Did you get that? From the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Oh my. I'll tell you what. It's so important for the people of God not to fear anything that's going on, not to fear any of this coronavirus or the next virus that comes along. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My goodness. Don't ever read that without declaring those passages personally over your life. It's part of your heritage. It's part of your heritage. So Israel, as they're in Assyria, they're having these difficulties and there are serious threats. But God was saying, look, there's a way of escape. In this particular situation, do not leave. In the other situation, he said, go, but you're going to be okay there too. I like that. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's a very powerful section of scripture that says, no temptation. And I want you to understand that you can translate this word testing. So sometimes temptation, we're thinking about just sin, but I'm talking about any test that you're in, any test, any problem that you have has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So there's a way out for every person out of this coronavirus, a way out for all the churches, a way out for the whole church. There's a way out. God will provide a way of escape. He promises it. So we just need to declare this from the scripture. It's so, so important. Let me just say something else about this. Because in Matthew chapter 6:13, I want you to know, for my personal life, but also for our church, and most importantly for our region, our church, and me personally, I've about worn out Matthew 6:13. It's the way the Lord taught us to pray. You know, there's the prayer, the Lord's Prayer starts off with, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But I think sometimes people don't get this verse 13 very much. And lead us not in temptation. Again, that word can be translated testing. The Lord, don't lead us not into trouble. Keep us away from trouble and deliver us from the evil one. So what I do every single morning, for years and years, I've already prayed about this coronavirus. I pray over everything. I go through everything. I say, Lord, no diseases, no sicknesses, no fires, no floods, no earthquakes. No disasters of human origin where there'd be terrorists and they would shoot up a school or an area, not in our territory, not in our area. Lord, I put a perimeter around this place. And I say, Lord, lead us away from testing and trial of this whole region. So I do that continually, and I hope from now on you'll do the same. Can you imagine the saints crying out daily, even when there's not a test? Lord, Lord, provide the way of escape. Don't let the test come. So I know already we've been praying so much. And I pray over everything imaginable with regard to this. And you should too, in the event of something that would happen like this. So I am confident that there is a way of escape, that God will give us a way of escape, and we're going to get out of this, and we're going to get out of this in even a better shape than we went in. And that's the next point on the outline. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, and he longs to be gracious to others through you. So God puts us in the middle of the world, like I said earlier, to be his salt and light. This is our lifelong assignment in the earth, right? And I want to just explain something about this for a moment. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 12. Now in these verses, I want to read through them first, and I want to comment on them. So not only is the way of escape to crying out to God, who graciously hears us, but I also want to just, and I'll revisit that subject in a minute, but I want to just say something about being in one of these situations, in any negative situation in your life. Part of the way you get delivered from situations, ironically, is you move in the opposite direction. So our giving is part of that. Our giving, how we treat others, is so important. And it's how God turns around and blesses us. And I just want to explain it from a couple of passages that are incredibly important. Look at Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? See, the thing is, retreating to your house in safety is fine, but wherever you have a chance to be a giver, do it. That's why we haven't closed down the warehouse. Now, they allow us legally to do that because we're a food warehouse. But it is my joy and my treasure that we get to do this. People say, well, isn't that a little risky? No. I tell you what, the way I see it, it's the scripture, you know. Part of my response to people should be sharing, opening up. I need to be a giver. Because look what he says. When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Share your food with the hungry. I've been actually trying to find places for homeless people during this whole thing while we've entered into this thing. Because guess what verse 8 says? And I'm not doing just for this, but I'm compassionate. You know, if we're lonely and being isolated in our homes, what do you think the guy in the street's like? And you know what? And the mental illness amongst them just gets intense because the fear is all over them. Not only are they out there on their own, but now there's this virus stalking them and they have no idea how they'll get medical care. I just feel in my spirit, oh, Lord. And I want you all to help us during this time. We're about the only business open around here. And we're just crying out to God and we're just asking God to help us, because the verses that happen after this are amazing. Listen to what he says. If you do all this stuff, just like the stuff that we're doing, clothing people and feeding people, look what it says. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Wow. I declare that over this church, Lord, because this is exactly what we're doing right now. We're helping the weak. And I declare our healing will quickly appear and hold not only us, but also this area. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Man, I want the Lord to be my rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer me. So there's not only calling, but calling with giving has an effect. Moving in the opposite direction that the culture of doing, the culture of fear and the pain and the sorrow, and ministering to people and being a giver in any way you can. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and then he'll say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger, malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame and you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. My. And then he says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I tell you, I want to be a part of the answer to this. I want to restore the streets. I want to repair the broken walls. I want to help our culture. I just think it's an act of mercy for our particular church just to be a part of this whole thing. He longs to be gracious to you. And we're supposed to be gracious to others just like he wants to be gracious to us. Now, I just want to just say something else about this. I was just thinking about it because it just seems crazy to be giving and kind of going this opposite direction. And I know we have to exercise proper care in it, but I just think sometimes I just want to be where the Lord's point of view is. And this is so obvious and clear to me. And I've just seen some circumstances, you know, where we move in the opposite direction. Even the whole definition of giving is moving in the opposite direction from your normal like tendencies. And, you know, and I just tell you, with all this thing, not for the sake of our church, whether you give or not, God will find provision for us and all the other churches. But for your own sake, whatever you do, don't freak out over your finances. They'll say, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. And stop giving, whether you're giving to somebody on the street or giving to the church or whatever. Because giving is part of the way out of this. Prayer is part of the way out of it. But giving is also a part of the way, because this is part of finding the plan God has for you. He takes that and he multiplies it and he turns something beautiful. And we become like, we start entering into our destiny by doing these sort of activities. We become these people that rebuild ancient ruins. We raise up the foundations. We repair broken walls. And you know what? We become restorers of streets with dwellings just by our activity. It's something that the God has always responded to. And so it's important. I was thinking about this the other day. Of the book of Haggai, and I'm not going to go into it. I have some verses I was going to read, but I don't think I'll go into it. But you might want to write this down if you're taking notes, because I don't have it on the outline. But here's an amazing thing. And the people of Haggai's time, actually, and all these discussions we're talking about Israel going back and forth from nations, and they'd just been returned, and there they were in Israel. And the problem was everything was destroyed around them. And talk about coronavirus. I mean, everything was gone. no homes, no places. They're sleeping in an open field. There's no crops. There's no food. There's nothing. So the first instruction the Lord gave them was build the temple. He said, I want you to build a temple. I want you to build a place for me to dwell in. And they say, they took a look at their environment and they go, I don't think so. I'm a little busy right now. Can't you see that, God? I've got to build a house for myself. And they put it off. And you know what God did? He shut the weather down so it wouldn't rain. He turned off the rain. And he put a curse on their crops. And he says, you know what? You guys, you put me first. And I'll take care of you. And I was thinking about that. Wow. See, the thing is, in this coronavirus, everything's being shut off. But the church doesn't shut off. We turn on. That's so critical. And the prophet had to come and explain their mistake. And so they began to respond. And amazing thing is, as soon as they began to do this, God began to bless them financially. The thing lifted off the land. And you could read this amazing book. But I just think it's weird that, like, because of their activity, there wasn't just Jews living in that area. Everybody had their crops destroyed. Everybody was being messed up by God was messing with the weather because of the disobedience of God's people. So I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to be a part of the problem, do you, as God's people? I want to do our part. Part of that is moving in the opposite direction, being bold and gracious and kind and praying and restoring our relationship with the Lord and repenting over fear and worry and not letting our mind go to that place. You know, and on the one side, turn away from that kind of activity, and the other side, turn to the Lord. So I want to just look at back to Isaiah here, and I just want to read the last few verses here of this particular section. Isaiah chapter 30, I want to read verses 19 to 21. I love these verses so much because I've given us some things to think about and the ways we can respond in this crisis, but I want to just share some more passages here that I think are incredibly instructive. And this is the last point I have on the outline. So as you cry out for help, as we're praying, as you're sowing into others, listen for creative wisdom. Listen for creative wisdom. So going back to Isaiah chapter 30. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you'll weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and water of affliction, your teachers, he says, will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. In other words, he's talking about wisdom. I'm going to show you how to get out of this. I'm going to show you how to do business while you're under this sorrow, while you're under this in this situation. While the Assyrians are knocking at the door, I'm going to tell you how to get out of this situation. I'm going to take care of the Assyrians. Well, in our case, I'm going to take care of the coronavirus. I'm also going to take care of your personal situation where you've lost a job or an opportunity. I know some have already been laid off and maybe some have been let go and they don't know when they're going to get their next paycheck and so on and so forth. But look what he says. Whether you turn to the left or the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. So God promises not only that he listens to our prayers, but this love exchange between the Father and his children is bringing creative solutions to our environment. This is the way, walk in it means that God speaks to us and says, well, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try that? What is this is the way, walk in it look like? Well, first of all, it should mean more salvation for the people around us. It should mean that we're open. You know, have you noticed how friendly your neighbors are? My goodness, everybody's wide open, but they're also afraid. I mean, you have even a little bit of conversation with them. What a great opportunity for Jesus. What a great opportunity for being friendly and modeling and encouraging and being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Oh my goodness, I don't know of a better time. This isn't a time to huddle up. This is a time to go out. This is a time to lead people to Christ and make an extra phone call to your neighbor and friends. And you know, some people get caught in the lurch and they don't have enough babysitting or there's a problem with work or whatever. And they're in these all entanglements and wonder if you just volunteer as a Christian and say, I'll help you. I'll take care of you. Oh my goodness. You know what? I just going to prophesy this right now that some of you that are listening to my voice, God's going to do this very week with you. He's going to give you an opportunity to share with a neighbor, a friend, a relative maybe that hasn't known the Lord, and you're going to be gracious to them and kind to them, and they're going to notice. See, this is what it means to be salt and light. This is the way, walk in it. God's going to have some ways for you to walk to get people saved. God has got this whole place so ripened for salvation. Oh my goodness, that we would go through this door and we would not neglect to invite our friends and our neighbors to whatever gathering we can and talk to them and speak to them. And some of us have been working with people forever, trying to get them to know Jesus, make that extra phone call, be of concern to them. This is your time to shine. This is the time to represent Jesus Christ, because God's looking for people like that. This is the way. God will show you ways. If you'll be open, God will show you ways to minister to them. Second thing, this is a time for more strength. It's a time for more strength. I really like this verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Let me just go a little further. I'm going to go to verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. This is a time for us to get strength, not lose strength. I was just telling you about that time I was having in the morning. One thing that happened to me, I realized that strength isn't just a matter of what we experience on the outside. Your strength gets sapped when you lose hope on the inside. And so when you refurbish your hopes on the Lord, guess what? You get your physical strength back. So I love that verse so much. These verses are so powerful for us. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And I was dancing around in here. I was soaring in my own broken wing way. Falling around. And I was running around having the greatest time. And again, I was praising God nobody was around. Because I'm the only one in here. But I'm telling you, God has strength, reservoirs of strength. If you're feeling weary, God has strength that inside of you, you don't even know about. It comes from inside out. Some of the strength that you're losing actually isn't a physical thing at all. It's the emotional strain of this whole thing. God promises to help us. Here's another thing God promises. This is the way walk in. Here's another way. More love, community, and relationship. I can feel our own church growing in community by leaps and bounds, because we're all in the same boat, and it's just so nice to see each other on Zoom or have a text or talk with one another and be connected. I feel sorry for all the people that aren't really connected very well in their church. It's a good reason to be connected in your church, especially for times like this, because there's just been all kinds of beautiful ministry and love, and we're growing in community and relationship. This is another way we can walk. This is the way. Walk in. This is something the Lord is going to show us. But let me just say this again. This is the last thing. This is the way, walk in it. What I think this also means, and this is this creative wisdom I'm talking about, expressed in a different way. I believe out of great tribulation, there are new opportunities for new businesses, new ideas, and new forms of provision. I tell you, we have already walked through this once. We walked through it in the recession. We had the whole business community, and we prayed like crazy through that thing. And I'm telling you, God brought some of the most amazing miracles. He brought creative ideas. God did things for people, and they're walking in new careers as a result of what happened in the recession and prospering way more than they did before. I believe that this is a time for more, not less. I believe we need to have that mindset. All these things I'm telling you, this is the way, walk in it. We need to walk now into more, not less. This is not about subtraction. This is about multiplication. For the people of God, we're in a different place. We function according to a different economy, and it's so important to understand that. There's new opportunity, and I'm just take this from just a worldly point of view. Every time there's a cataclysmic event, every time there's a depression or recession or whatever, new businesses are always born. New opportunity is there just for the taking. I guarantee you, as a result of this, there will be new opportunity and new business and new ways. Put your thinking cap on before the Lord. Say, Lord, you know what? I've lost my job. Lord, I'm not sure I'm going to make a living. Everything's down in this industry. Reinvent me. A lot of guys in the mortgage industry and other industries that were severely affected before, they reinvented themselves. They began to walk in a different way. God will do that for gals, guys, anyone. Don't worry about your job. God says, I'm going to show you a way to walk in it. God's going to give you creative wisdom. You're going to hear a voice behind you saying, why don't you try that? Why don't you try this? And I tell you what, be bold. This is not a time to shrivel up like a raisin. This is a time to be a grape. This is a time to be full of water, full of sustenance. This is a time for us to prosper and do well. Watch for the opportunities. Don't let people talk you out of a blessing. Don't even let them talk you into time frames or whatever. You're functioning on a different economy. But God has good plans for you, creative plans. Creative ideas. We've been getting more creative around here by the hour, just with new things we're doing and technology and stuff. We've been thinking about it. Wow, this is a great time to extend. This is a great time to expand. I hope you have that mindset. God wants to prosper you. We have to move in the opposite direction. We got to be givers, not takers. We've got to make sure that our giving button is on. We've got to make sure that our prayer button's on. We've got to make sure that we're listening for new instructions and new ways to do things, because God has good plans for all of us. And I just can't wait to see what emerges out of this time. Out of the last times, you know, we've had several kind of worldwide phenomena. I mean, Y2K and recession and all of it, and through all of it, through the wars and the 9/11 and the whole thing, through all of it, the Lord's always sustained us, and he's going to do it again. He's going to bring us forward into new territory. I'm just going to pray now. Lord, I declare over anybody that's hearing my voice, they're going to find the good plans of God for their life and their family. New forms of provision are going to appear. New ways are coming to us in every way, Lord, spiritually, mentally, physically. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us new wisdom about every situation in our life. And I just pray these plans would just come cascading down to us and on us in Jesus' name. Lord, we just raise a hallelujah to you. We thank you, God, for the circumstances we're in. We declare today all things are working together for our good. Wow, what a promise from God. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. I pray, Lord, there would be love encounters from people that are just encountering God. I pray you put faith in them to know that they can encounter God when they're worshiping and singing, reading their Bibles, and feel that love coming on them. I pray the Father's love would just come on people. They'd have supernatural experiences with it. They'd be encouraged. And I just break off anybody that's listening right now, any sense of stupor or any sense of depression. I break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. And I just want you to look up. And I just declare, look up, because God has got good plans for you for the future, both immediately and in the longer term. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Amen.